Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 14th, 2011, episode 119, Good Morning Horse World.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That one will get you bouncing on your ball on a Thursday morning. I kind of need that, too. It's a kind of sleepy Thursday.
My alarm went off this morning, Glenn, and I actually said out loud, you know, the beep, beep, beep starts, and I actually said, you have got to be kidding me. I just went to sleep. However, I did sleep for like 8 hours, so I should be feeling really good. Apparently, I just need some more. But I think all the stress, Glenn, it's all the stress of, you know, we are currently one day away from taxes. Are you done? Are you ready?
No, actually, I'm going to be filing an extension. That's how not ready I am. So,
welcome to my club. And
I love
not
extensions.
That,
I think extensions were made specifically for me.
The last time I filed an extension, it gives you, what, till like October 15th or something? I filed my taxes on
October.
You got
to remember to do it then.
Yeah, I did them on October 14th last year. So the government does not like it when I file an extension, but it will be done because it's just one of those things. This whole Horse Radio Network thing is throwing me for a loop. So I've got to work a little bit harder.
Darn income. See, that's the problem with income. We should just all quit our jobs and not make anything. You know what? If you'd rather do it for free, I could probably do that, too. I think Jennifer probably wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah. Good luck. Good luck. Speaking of excitement coming up, 14 days, people. 1-4. 14 days to light your menorahs, put the candles and paper chains out by the window so everybody can see that you're lighting a candle for 14 days till Rolex. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yay. And we're going to be there, of course, doing our morning show every morning. We'll be changing up our schedule a little bit then, and we'll be Thursday through Sunday morning live, even on the weekend. We're making Jamie work on the weekend.
It's awesome.
So that'll be fun.
But at least we're going to be near the trade fair, because we'll be broadcasting probably from the indoor arena there in the trade fair, and that is some great shopping. So I'm okay with sitting in there and doing our broadcast. It may be chilly in there. That's fine. I'm going to be walking around, keeping myself warm, doing some major shopping in the morning. So I don't mind at all. But we've got a pretty exciting show today. Jennifer, what were you going to say, Glenn?
Nothing. I was going to comment on your shopping, but that's okay.
Jennifer,
what's
you know,
up?
You two are a piece of work. On today's show, we start out with another amazing vacation story, this time from Jen Reutz, who works here at the Three Chimneys Farm in Kentucky. And stay tuned to find out just what four-legged beasts she got to ride on her vacation adventure. It's going to be great. And being Thursday and all, the Chronicle Report is here, and Lisa will most certainly bring us some sort of compelling or engrossing stories from these hallowed e-pages. I think that has something to do with the World Cup this time around. And, of course...
Soccer?
No.
I thought the World Cup was last year. Yeah, it was. All right, well, she's got the, you know,
it's
they only
news.
Do it every 4 years.
Yeah,
so
it's
either old news or a serious preview coming up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And of course, wait for it, all the world will be entertained, inspired, alarmed, or even disturbed by Glenn and Jamie's anecdotes and headlines.
And apparently pictures we post on Facebook.
Disturbing will be... Disturbing is coming up very shortly because we've got our daily Winnie, Glenn. I think you have to do it because you got the email.
Oh, if you hit refresh, it's in there.
I know. You have to, but you got the email. I think you should be the one to sing it.
yeah, you don't want that. I think it's going to be much better if you do it. Our daily Winnie is from Lynn Gray Whiten, and she sent us an email. She must have been listening to yesterday's show when Jamie was really, really, I don't know what the word is. Engrossing? Is engrossing a word? Because the gross part was pretty good. So she was telling us about her adventures with her rather amorous horsey when she was painting a sheep. So that really got a lot of comments going on Facebook and all over the place. Well, Lynn sent us some songs, and I would have to say them. I couldn't sing them because I don't even know the first one, to be honest with you. So do you want to give it a try, or do you want me to?
I will try. I will try. This is so fantastic. I wish I would have known about this before I cleaned my horse's sheath and he enjoyed it. I could have sang this during the whole process. This is the sheath cleaning song, author unknown. How's it hanging? So much cleaner. Aren't you glad I washed your wiener? I admit it's kind of creepy that I had to stick my arm up in your peepee. It was stinky. It was gunky. It felt icky. It smelled funky. It was crusty. It was cruddy. When you stuck it out, it creaked like it was rusty. After half an hour of toiling and of squirting baby oiling, you're as fresh there as a daisy. Either this means I love you or else I'm crazy.
Very
Thank
good.
You. By the way, we don't recommend baby oil. It just adds to the problem, okay, people? Don't use baby oil. It was just, it fit in the song, apparently. Use Dove soap or Excalibur. There you go. There's your... Now, she also sent us another one. And this one, am I supposed to sing this one, too?
This one almost approaches... you know, definitely PG for sure.
oh, it's so funny though.
Okay, you can sing it just because I want to be able to use it later and, you know, be able to take it off as a sound clip later and use it against you. So, yeah, go ahead. I just want to hear you sing this one.
I think you know this tune, so I was going to have you do it. but that's not going to. Jennifer, do you want to sing this one?
Heck no!
All right,
I almost had to beat myself.
I think I dropped that one yesterday anyway. It's okay. Nobody complained. So, this is the second of the sheath cleaning songs.
And who knew, by the way, who knew there was one, let alone two?
Yeah, I didn't know that that there were two. Ready? Here we go. If it's hanging and you see it, lube your hands. If it's hanging and you see it, lube your hands. If it's hanging and you see it, grab it, click, it's time to clean it. If you're hanging and you see it, lube your hands. If it's peely and it's crusty, pick it off. If it's peely and it's crusty, pick it off. If it's peely and it's crusty and the smell is kind of musty. If it's peely and it's crusty, pick it off. My favorite. If your weenie has a beanie, dig it out. If his weenie has a beanie, dig it out. If his wiener has a beaner, pull it out and he'll be cleaner. If his weenie has a beanie, dig it out.
Who the hell wrote these?
Now he's happy and you know it. Wash your hands. Now he's happy and you know it. Wash your hands. It's a job that's kind of kinky. Now your hands are really stinky. If your buddy's happy, you don't wash your hands. That's awesome. Oh, your daily Winnie to Lynn Gray Whiten. Thank you for sending those to Glenn.
Oh, by the way, this is for you, Jamie. Very good.
Thank you. I will get a bonus. I've decided that every time I sing, you have to pay me more. I didn't tell you that before, but it's going to have to happen.
I'll be able to use those for years to come. I think that's going to become the opening song for, like, Fridays.
That's great. Yeah, do you know how really embarrassing it is when my husband comes around the corner dressed for work and I'm singing about a weenie and a beanie? He just looked at me and turned around and walked the other way. Thanks. I have to explain that one. Not like I didn't already have to explain the whole sheath cleaning process the first time. Now I've got to explain why I'm thinking about it. Nice. I'm getting divorced. He should leave me.
All right. What do you want to talk about today? Well, we have our first guest coming up at in a little bit here. She's going to talk about one of her adventures. She was actually referred to us by Kimberly Brown. And remember Kimberly we had on to tell about her adventures in Africa and climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and all that stuff? Well, her friend...
Yes, I do.
Yeah, her friend Jen Reut got to go on a Jordan adventure. And she was riding camels, horses, and donkeys. And apparently there was... some tales to tell. Things didn't go as planned, so she's going to be telling us about that. That should be a lot of fun. But first, did you see the story of the driver? And I don't know where this is exactly. Pasco. I don't know. That must be in the South someplace. About the drive. Now, have you ever done this where you've gone out to the car, you've put your coffee cup on the top or your package on the top, you've gotten in the car and driven off? You ever done that?
Yes, unfortunately. I actually put a pair of shoes on top of the car, and then I got to my destination, and there was one shoe on top of the car. Just
all right. Hey, yeah, you know, and I've done that. I think I've lost keys and, you know, all kinds of stuff that way because that's just my ADD kicks in, and I just totally forget. So have you ever forgotten to put your horses in the horse trailer and tied them to the horse trailer and then drove off?
Oh, my God, no.
That's what this guy did. This is the story. Two horses
That's
running.
Horrible.
Two horses running behind a horse trailer on Argent Road and Route 68 in Pasco caught people by surprise Tuesday afternoon. I guess so. The horses were tied to a trailer that was being pulled by a truck, and the light turned green and the driver just kind of crept forward and then he turned left onto Route 68 and started picking up speed. The two horses started trotting and then running. One of them broke loose and kept running with the other horse that was still tied to the trailer. The police said the owner of the horses had just been to a veterinary clinic nearby, which is kind of ironic because he's going to have to go back, and forget that the horses were tied outside the trailer. He stopped after multiple cars honked at him to alert him what was happening. Well, that's a new one. Usually you remember to put your horses in the trailer. Now, we forgot to close the door at times, but we've never, ever forgotten to put the horses in the trailer.
That's horrible. I mean, I already have, like, I have a system where you actually, no matter what, every time you stop, you have to check every trailer door and the hitch just to make sure that it's dropped down the gooseneck and the little pin is in there and all the chains are hooked up correctly. Every time I stop, I go through this little round check because I have nightmares about stuff like that. That person was smoking something when they left the veterinary clinic because how do you forget you didn't load your dang horses and start driving down the road? That's ridiculous. And then it says one of the horses broke loose from the trailer and kept running down the road. How do you not look out your mirror? Like when you're pulling out somewhere, I always check and make sure that I'm not running over the curb or like I've swung wide enough. Wouldn't when you do that, you would see a horse running to the side of your trailer? Oh, that guy needs it. No, you can't own horses anymore if you make that mistake. I'm sorry. You're done. You got to give them up.
I got another one for you. This one was in Vienna, Austria. Dozens of holiday makers fled in horror as two horses bolted in the heart of Vienna yesterday. They were carriage horses, and apparently they were tied because they were not being used at that particular moment. Something spooked them, so they broke loose. And with their carriage, they were running around the square in Vienna, which is very pretty, by the way, running around the square in Vienna and terrorizing tourists. So That was what went on there. Another carriage driver managed to calm them down and get them stopped, and no one was injured, and the horses are okay, and nobody got run over by the horses in the carriage. But so there was terror in Vienna yesterday as the carriage driver.
I've actually, my one big trip that I took as a single woman was to go to Vienna and go to the Spanish riding school, and I did take a carriage ride around the square of Vienna, and those horses are not tied. They just stand there. They just
put
their heads down. They just stand there, and so they're not tied up. They didn't broke loose. Maybe those guys are going to start tying them now because they can just run away. And the guys are all standing on the street corner, like no problem. The horse is standing there by itself. So I'm surprised that hadn't happened sooner.
Well, it gives England a break. We've talked about United States and Vienna here, so we're giving England a break today on the loose horses.
I'm going to talk about my state right now.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about Arizona and how horrible this story is and how I'm going to have to do something about it. Apparently, there were a couple guys that put I don't know if there are a couple guys. There's a drug ring that is down in Nogales, Mexico, which is the border town just south of the Arizona border. And there's crime and there's, like, death and destruction there. Somebody to smuggle 1,000 pounds of marijuana, which apparently is worth $500,000, put it on 3 horses and sent them loose in the desert, trying to get them to cross the border by themselves. So the police find 3 horses, each carrying a third of 1,000 pounds, 333 pounds or whatever, of marijuana. And they're confiscated, and they're currently in the Arizona Ag Department, about to be, if they don't get claimed, and by the way, who's going to claim them? Oh, yeah, those are my horses with my drugs. They're going to be auctioned off, and I have to go save them, Glenn. I have to go save them.
Oh, geez. Here we go. You got one of your horses from the sheriff's department anyway, didn't you?
I know, and he's going to do his first horse trial in June, and I think I am qualified to. I mean, okay, this is my horse who was part of an illegal gambling ring and match racing in the desert. These are my 3 horses that were used as drug smugglers. I mean, what kind of history do I have in my backyard? I think I should do it. I'm going to send one to you, too. You guys need another horse.
Yeah, you do that. If one of them is a Percheron, could you please do that? That'd be fine. A black one.
I'm sure that a black Percheron is one they set loose in the desert, because that would be smart.
So you got to wonder why they set it loose. Must have been like the Border Patrol came up and they just took off, or they saw something that spooked them, so they took off and left their $500,000 worth of drugs on the horses.
Or they're like across the border and they do that whole whip them in the butt thing and get them galloping north. You know, I don't know what the deal is there, but those poor things. And apparently this is something that has happened before, and the horses have been abandoned. So, you know, these could be like stolen horses. Who knows? I have to find out more. I will do some research, and I will find out more. And we will find these horses.
You do that. Hey, yesterday I told you that there was something special you could do for the Kentucky Derby this year. And, you know, and it requires your checkbook or somebody else's checkbook or 2 or 3 people's checkbooks, because what they're offering, Woodford Reserve, by the way, that's the place that we took you. That's the bourbon distillery that we took you to, Woodford Reserve, over there in beautiful Versailles, Kentucky. And Woodford Reserve is absolutely beautiful. Well, they're a bourbon maker here. And they are one of the sponsors of the Kentucky Derby. I think the Woodford Reserve is the bourbon over there. Well, they're taking the traditional Kentucky Derby cocktail, the Mint Julep, to a new level by unveiling the world's most expensive Mint Julep Cup. The Woodford Reserve $1,000 Mint Julep Cup experience will feature the most exotic ingredients in the world and a collection of 103 sterling silver Mint Julep Cups designed by Tiffany. So in other words, you can buy this sterling silver, 103 sterling silver mint julep cups, and you'll get the ultimate in mint juleps in your cup, because what's going to be in your cup when you buy it is ice made of rainwater captured on the pristine island of Tasmania, Australia. So that's a ship of frickin' ice Or do they just ship the rainwater and freeze it here, do you think? So anyway, this is this rainwater that this little guy with his cup is capturing over there on the pristine island of Tasmania and then flying it directly back to Kentucky. A rare chocolate mint grown in San Diego, California. By the way, that just doesn't have the exotic ring that Tasmania, Australia does it? bourbon smoked sugar from Louisville, Kentucky, which combines raw Demerara sugar smoked in used Woodford Reserve barrels. That's a heck of a lot of work to go through to get some sugar. The small batch and a small batch of Master Distiller's personal selection of Woodford Reserve Super Premium Bourbon. And they'll be on sale at the Kentucky Derby for $1,000. You can get your special one. If that's not good enough for you, they're going to have three special cups that are sterling silver that feature a design around the base in 24-karat gold. And those will start at $2,000 each. So there you go. You can purchase your
cups.
That
is insane. Now, apparently, the money does go to charity. Is that what I'm reading here?
I didn't read that far. I was really stuck on ice made of rainwater captured in Tasmania, Australia.
Yeah,
that's really
first
where
of all,
I got stuck.
Do you think that if it's really gonna taste really, really good, that they'll love it, and if it's gonna taste really, really, really bad, they'll still go, "That's delicious," because they paid $1,000 for it.
Just paid $1,000 for it. You're gonna love that mint julep. I'm gonna tell you.
Oh, this is the worst mint julep I've ever tasted.
And do you really think that they're bringing rainwater from Tasmania, or they're just out there getting the Louisville tap water in the back of the barn and bringing it up?
Probably. Here's what's happening. The pristine island of Tasmania, Australia, bottles water, and they just bought a couple bottles.
Exactly.
And they just put it in ice trays. I mean, you know, you can get water from the rare Fijian Islands, which is Fiji water, and you can buy it at your local grocery store. So maybe that's what it is.
By the way, I just kissed Woodford Reserve goodbye as a potential sponsor, haven't I? Probably.
Yes, you have.
I don't think you did.
I think me going blah when you talked about tasting their bourbon, because I'm just not a bourbon person. And when we tasted it there, you loved it. I was like, I can't drink this. Can you finish it? And it's like a quarter of a shot.
Oh. You're a pretty cheap date when it comes that way. You like very inexpensive alcohol, so it's perfect. Now we know
beer.
Why Chad liked you.
Beer and then Trader Joe's $2 chuck, which is their $2 bottle of wine. So good.
Careful how you say that one.
Have you guys never heard of the Charles Shaw wine from Trader Joe's?
We don't have Trader Joe's here.
Oh, you will get them.
We need a Trader Joe's here.
Yes, you do, because they have $2 chuck, and it's really actually, this is the story that goes along with it, and then you can decide for yourself whether you want to believe it. But it's really, really good wine. And it's bottled and sold for, I think it's now it's $3 chuck, $3 for a bottle here in Arizona, and that they have them all over the country, lots of them in California. And the reason that the really good wine is that cheap is because Charles Allen owned a vineyard with his wife, and his wife and he got divorced. And during the divorce, he got to keep the vineyards, but she got to share the profits from the vineyards. So he sells the wine at cost.
Whether it's true or not, it's hilarious.
Isn't that fantastic? So we get really good wine because he's mad at his ex-wife. Apparently she wanted the vineyards. And so, that's the story that goes along with $3 chuck. And if it's not true, don't nobody tell me, because that's why I buy the wine and I like it.
I got to say, Boone's Farm used to be my favorite of choice when I was younger. Couldn't afford much. You always bought your $2.50 bottle of Boone's Farm. And that stuff will make you sick because it's so sweet.
Ooh. Strawberry Hill, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Strawberry Hill. Yep. You know your $2.50 bottle of Boone's Farm, too.
That's what everybody drank when they were younger. It's like candy.
That's right. And it tastes like soda pop, so you can just drink it, you know. Hey, what were you telling me about Uncle Mo and a physical? Were they thinking, was this after his last race when he came in third? Were they thinking that he that he had something wrong with him? What was that story?
Oh, my gosh. Poor Uncle Mo. This horse is never going to lose a race ever again because of what he had to go through the last time he lost a race. You remember he ran last weekend and he came in third, and it was only third by, like, a neck, okay? So he didn't get beat by much. So what do? They go, Todd Pletcher, his trainer, his owners, the veterinarians, they give him a thorough physical exam. They did blood work. They checked his legs. They did potentially, like, you know, everything you can do to check a horse, including ultrasounding his internal organs and scoping his stomach. So after a thorough physical exam, Uncle Mo was found to be completely sound coming out of his last race, where they actually ultrasound and scoped him. That horse is going to be like, forget losing. I am not going through that again. I am going to run as fast as I can just so they don't stick that thing, you know, either A, up my butt, or B, down my throat. That sounds horrible. Are you there?
They were that confident that this horse was going to blow this race away that they just must have thought that something was absolutely wrong with him.
They did. I mean, that's how confident they were, thinking he was not going to lose. And then when he lost, he had to undergo, like, every kind of physical. So now he's back in training. He was found to be completely sound. So there you go.
There you go. And one other story here that I wanted to talk about yet this morning before we get to our first guest is I got some details now on the horsepower that's going to be used for the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton. By the way, did you know that Kate Middleton is allergic to horses?
Oh, poor thing. You got to man up. I get the shots. I got my allergy shots yesterday.
Did you?
And it's got horses in it. Oh, yeah. I get them once or twice a week. Sucks.
Well, she is allergic to horses, too, apparently. And when she goes to watch him play polo, she doesn't really go over around the horses much. But this is what's going to happen as far as the horses are concerned in the wedding, which, by the way, we won't be able to watch because we're going to be at Rolex because it's on the 29th. She's going to arrive in a Rolls Royce accompanied by her father. William will arrive in a Bentley. Borrowed from the Royal Mews, accompanied by Prince Harry. At the end of the service, the couple will be part of a procession of a 5-horse-drawn carriages from Westminster Abbey to Buckingham Palace. Escort will be provided for the formal party involving more than 160 horses. And if you saw Diana's wedding, you'll know that they did have a ton of outriders. Well, that's what, I don't know if they're called outriders here, but that's what I'm calling them. So there'll be 160 horses just riding along. The newlyweds will travel in the lead coach, a 1902 state landau. In the event of severe weather, they'll be in the enclosed state glass coach. The second, third carriages will be Ascot landaus, carrying the best man, maid of honor, and the bridesmaids. The fourth carriage will be a semi-state landau, carrying the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. The fifth carriage will be a semi-state landau, carrying the Prince of Wales. Did you notice the Prince of Wales is not in with the Queen? The Duchess of Cornwall and Mr. and Mrs. Middleton. So all the important people will be in carriages on their way after the ceremony over to the party. There are more than 100 carriages in the Royal Mews collection. I didn't know
now,
that.
Now, I was reading another story, Glenn, and do you know that they are practicing this this whole carriage driving thing several times before the actual wedding? And the end of the wedding, when they go through, to the carriage with the bride and the groom,
yep,
once they leave the procession, they have practiced that, and they're in the dead of night, they are putting people that are the exact height and weight of the bride and groom in the carriage so they can tweak the shocks on it to make sure that it's not too bumpy. So the exact weight and height of Prince William and Kate Middleton in the carriage in the middle of the night. How quick do you think Prince Harry is going to elope? if he decides to get married. He's going to be like, I am not going through this ridiculousness. I thought my wedding was frustrating. Imagine being a part of this. Oh.
Yeah, and I remember watching Diana's wedding. Did you watch that, or were you pretty young yet?
I was like, I don't even know if I was born.
That makes me sick. All right, yeah. Let's take a break for our first sponsor here, and then go to our first guest.
All right, I just got to find the first sponsor. Here we go. It's Eco Gold. And Eco Gold, we thank them so much for being a part of the Horse Radio Network. They give you the high-performance saddle pads and horse boots that are non-slip, 100% breathable, and the ultimate in comfort and protection for your horse. Made with high-tech materials and state-of-the-art design, Eco Gold innovative products are the top choices of top riders like Philip Dutton, McLean Ward, Ashley Holzer, Herdeher, Karen O'Connor, Boyd Martin, Jessica Phoenix. They all choose Eco Gold. They're part of the Eco Gold team. For more information about this fantastic line of products, visit www.ecogold.ca.
Well, Jamie, we got an email a while back from Kimberly Brown, who's been a guest in our show a number of times. She is the she worked with us for the World Equestrian Games, and she came on the show to tell about her adventures climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and her safari in Africa and everything. Well, she sent us an email a while back that says she had a dinner with a friend of hers by the name of Jennifer Reutz, marketing director for Three Chimneys Farm. And basically, Jennifer told her about her adventures doing all kinds of different kinds of riding in the country of Jordan. So we thought we would continue this adventurous streak we have going here on Horses in the Morning by bringing Jen Reutz on. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. And so she said that you had some hilarious stories, some funny stories to tell us about your adventure. First, I want to say that you are the marketing director for Three Chimneys Farm. And Jennifer said when she was waiting for you to come on that you guys on your hold actually play race calls. And she's upset because she didn't get to hear the end of the race.
Yeah, they pretty much end the same way every time, I think. We try to put each of our stallions' biggest race call, the stretch call, on hold. So kind of like their fans just lived out a little bit more.
Now, you guys used to stand Seattle Sluicy. Do you still have his race calls on there, too?
No, right now we only have our current stallions on there. But
aww,
we might do a throwback edition and put, like, Seattle Slu on there and Silver Charm and a couple of the other ones.
Can I call in and request certain race calls? Can I call in and say, can you put me on hold so I can listen to? Can I do that?
We're not a radio show, sorry.
Maybe you should think about that.
I do
want to work out something for you.
Yeah, Jen, I want to say that, you know, you've made this huge trip to Jordan. You did all this exciting stuff. I was a former employee of Three Chimneys Farms, and if I'd have stuck with it, I maybe could have gone to Jordan with you. We would have been best friends. But I couldn't quite stick with the job that I had at Three Chimneys Farm. It wasn't as glamorous as the marketing director, I must say.
Yeah, I have a pretty sweet gig here. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I lasted 3 weekends. I was the weekend stall cleaner. And I got to tell you that I am the slowest straw stall cleaner ever. I worked with a guy, I think his name was Antonio or Alfonso, and I had my aisle to do and he had his aisle to do, and I was on stall number 4 when he was done with all 25 of his, so then he had to come around and help me. I was the worst stall cleaner in Three Chimneys Farm history, so you know, you can market that one.
You and I are cut from the same cloth, because I used to go up to the racetrack and just wanted to do anything with horses, which at the racetrack when you're 15 is cleaning stalls, and I was the same way. I am slow as molasses when it comes to cleaning stalls.
Well, straw stalls are the worst to clean anyway. They're terrible.
I know.
Ugh. Hate straw stalls. Well, now tell us. So tell us about, what. First of all, you must have went to Jordan before all of this, all of the nightmares started over there.
I went the week before the Dubai World Cup. So it was right kind of in the midst of all the conflict going on with Libya and everything over there. But Jordan is, it's very much removed from that. and a lot more westernized than some of the other Middle Eastern countries. So even though that conflict was going on relatively close to the Jordanian borders, we really didn't experience any of it.
Now, why Jordan? Why'd you pick Jordan?
Well, actually, my sister lives there. My sister's a musician. She plays the cello, and she's a cellist in the Amman Symphony, which is the national symphony for Jordan. So we went over there to visit her and see how she lives and just kind of experience as much as we could over in Jordan.
Well, that's cool. That's neat. And nobody ever thinks of Jordan having a symphony. Let's start there.
Yeah, it's not really the first thing you think of when you think of Jordan the way horses or the first thing you think of in Kentucky. The king of Jordan went to school for his high school years in the U.S., and so he's been kind of infusing Jordanian culture with some Western bits of culture. So they have a symphony that plays more Westernized music, European and American music, mostly classical music like Tchaikovsky and Beethoven. And she got invited to play in their symphony, and she's been there for about 2 years. And she also teaches at a university in Jordan that's set up to be very similar to American universities.
Well, that's cool. All right, so tell us about your adventure. She wrote to us about you got to ride a bunch of different critters while you were over there. And first of all, we should say, because I'm America's horse husband, we should recognize your husband actually went along on this trip, and he's not so horsey, right?
He loves the horses vicariously because
like we all do.
I work with horses and love them, but no, he's from Montreal, Canada, and he's a football player, and yeah, he never grew up with the horses, so he's a really good sport for trying to do everything I wanted to do.
All right, so tell us about the trip.
Well, we went over there and tried to see as much as we could. So we went to see Petra, and we went to see the desert around Wadi Rum and stayed in
a
Bedouin camp.
Now, wait a minute. Isn't Petra the place where Indiana Jones was filmed part of it?
It may have been. If not, it looks very, very similar.
Okay.
But so in Petra, a lot of Bedouins live in Petra and around the desert area around Petra. And so they still use horses and camels and donkeys for a lot of their daily travel and just daily work. So when we were in Petra, one of the things that you can do is climb up these probably 1,300 or more steps that are carved into the side of this mountain to get to the top where you can see all the gorgeous views and vistas and whatnot. But since it's such a steep climb, they have donkeys that go up and down these steps all day. That's all the donkeys do. And so you can ride the donkeys up the steps, and then you get to the top, and the donkeys scurry back down the steps to get the next person who's going to ride them. And it's kind of a bummer lifestyle for the donkeys, but it really helps
some
out the tourists
donkeys.
So they don't have to. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, they could scurry up and down that many steps several times a day? That is a great workout program.
It is amazing how fit these donkeys are because they're not even winded by the time they get up after carrying my fat butt all the way up to the top of Petra. But they're so well-trained into this routine that they don't need to be led up. They don't need to be led back down. They just know where to go at the top, and then they come all the way back down. So it was pretty
it's sort of like a ski lift with donkeys.
It's very much like a primitive ski lift. Although it was funny because there's a vista at the top that once you get to the top where the donkeys drop you off, they you can go up several hundred more steps and climb up to this vista and get some great photos. So we climbed up there and found this donkey that had decided to get away from the pack and try to get out of doing some work. So we came around
the little
corner. Pardon?
A rogue donkey.
Exactly. Came around the corner, and here's this donkey just kind of hiding out. And as soon as we came around the corner, his eyes bugged out like, oh, no, I've been caught. But all I did was pet and love on that donkey and just loosen his girth and rub off all the little sweat spots, like under his elbows and everything, and After about 10 minutes of doing that, his owner came and found him, and I got scolded for giving him too much attention because they said I'm going to spoil him and teach him that this is a good idea to come and run off away from the pack.
I see a Disney movie in the making with the escape donkey.
Possibly.
Yeah. Cool. Well, tell us more. Tell us more.
Let's see. The donkey excursion was pretty nice. Those donkeys are super, super cute. My husband, being about 200 pounds or so, 190 to 200, which I'm sure he would love that I just announced that, he got one of the bigger donkeys, but that donkey was also had a little bit of a mind of his own. So as we were going up these steps, the donkey consistently tried to rub my husband off of his back by kind of scooting up against the sides of the walls that were on either side of the steps as you go up.
That'd be the donkey I'd get.
Yeah. About halfway up, I think my husband was over the whole donkey riding experience. But I loved it. I thought it was great. It's definitely
did you have a bridle on them or anything? Do they wear bridles?
They had a halter on, but they don't have bits in their mouths, if I remember correctly. They just had the halter, and then the reins are tied underneath the halter. But because the donkeys are so into this routine of going up and down, you really don't need to steer them. And I learned really quickly that they know the best way to get up these stairs, because since the stairs are carved into the side of the mountain, it's unbelievable to look at. But since they're not built from wood or anything, they're just carved into the stone, there's some that are higher than others, and some that are flatter than others, and some that are on, you know, a little bit of an angle or whatnot, so the donkeys know which way they'll be the most sure-footed. So I learned after about 10 steps to just not try to guide my donkey. He'll take me up the safest way, and I kind of put my faith in him.
And I heard that you were riding across the desert, and you, by default, became the leader of the pack for a while.
Actually, my husband did. It wasn't me. I wanted to ride a camel. I had never ridden a camel. I think they are so adorable. I love their faces, but their like nose, and they just have this very serene expression on them. So the one thing I really wanted to do is ride a camel in the desert, because it's not like you can do that here in Kentucky or really many other places in the U.S. So I figured that would be the ideal Jordanian experience. We went to go ride camels with a couple of my sister's friends and just kind of take a slow meandering camel ride through the desert. And about 15 to 20 minutes into this camel ride, one of my sister's friends' saddles, I guess that's what you would call it on a camel, the saddle started getting a little bit loose. And so our guide asked the camel to lay down on the ground. That's how you get on and off of them, is them kind of laying down on the ground or sitting down so they're not quite as high up. He asked the camel to lay down so the kid could get off of his back and the guide could tighten the saddle. And this camel had been, he just had that look of being mischievous in his eye. And as soon as he felt the kid get off of his back, the camel sprang up with the saddle probably a little looser than it should have been and took off through the desert, just ran away. And so the guide immediately, you know, had my sister get off of her camel, and he hopped on her camel and went chasing it, but completely leaving the rest of us sitting on camels in the middle of the desert.
My God.
Riding
how
a camel
long was he
is
gone?
Not like riding a horse, so I had no idea how to steer that thing or ask it to go or beg it to stop or anything like that, you know?
So the only guide you had was now chasing another camel across the desert. You guys were just stuck there?
Yeah. Like, he was so far away, he was like a speck in the distance. Because they can be surprisingly fast, those camels, if they want to be. So, yeah, he just kind of rode off into the sunset trying to chase this camel down. And somehow my husband, who doesn't ride and doesn't really know much about horses or camels, he got along with his camel great and had figured out, you know, how to steer it and just kind of developed this really convenient bond with his camel. So he kind of let us, there were four other people with us that still were on their camels, and so kind of led us back the way we came. And we ended up getting back to the Bedouin camp around the time the guy who had chased the camel down got back. So met him back there at square one, and thankfully he had caught the camel, and the no harm, no foul kind of thing. But I have a feeling that that camel got a little bit less supper than the rest of them after that little experience.
I bet. Runaway camel. It's a good thing that nobody was on the camel at the time. That was
thank goodness.
Good.
No
yeah.
kidding. Although I think it would have been a lot easier to catch him had someone been on him.
So what was the highlight of your trip? What would you say was the thing that you just set it off from anything else you've ever done?
I mean, this is going to sound kind of ridiculous because my job deals with horses every day, but the highlight of the trip for me was riding horses out in Jordan, because after we did the camel and the donkey riding, we had the option to ride horses, which was something that, I mean, being a horse lover, anyone who loves horses would want to get the chance to ride an authentic Arabian horse in the Middle East. Like, how perfect is that, you know? So the Bedouins in the camp we were staying at had these Arabian horses that they use, you know, for their everyday travel to get from one camp to the other. And they said, you know, yeah, sure, you guys can go ride them and take a trail ride in the desert. And one of the gentlemen was our guide and took us out. And so that was my favorite part, because I was riding this really cute, really fit, gorgeous Arabian. She was if I remember correctly, she was a four-year-old filly that was dapple gray and just really sweet. But because they were Bedouin horses that are used, you know, for their daily activities and travel, these are not tourist-type horses. So, again, my husband, being the good sport, said, sure, I'll go riding with you, no problem. And these horses were not the kind of horses that you get on when you've ridden, you know, five times in your life. So they had a lot of get up and go, and they had the endurance to have that get up and go for a long time. So I loved the experience because I didn't mind the get up and go. And, you know, I grew up riding hunter jumpers, and in college I rode racehorses for about 4 years at the racetrack. So the get up and go is something that I appreciate. My husband does not appreciate it as much.
No,
as
we
I
don't like that too much. No, I agree with him.
So he was good, and he did all the right things, and I tried to give him a silver lining of the fact that he had the blisters in all the right places. You know, he had the blisters on his ring fingers and on the inside of his calves and everything, but he was not thrilled about the whole horse riding experience like I was. All
now,
his horse wanted to do was go faster than my husband wanted him to, so there was a lot of disagreement about the speed that they were going to travel.
Pretty much anything faster than a walk is faster than a horse husband wants to go. That's
exactly
pretty much
yeah.
true. Yeah, and we really like camp horses. You know, butt to tail. That we really like camp horses because they take you pretty much up to anything. Like those donkeys going up and down the hill. That was probably more in style than the wild fast Arabian. So now you stayed with the Bedouins. Did you have to eat goat out of a big center bowl with rice?
We did eat goat. So I'm sorry if there's any goat lovers. We did eat goat. And I'm not the kind of person who isn't going to try something once. I didn't want to be rude to them and not accept the food they were offering, that they were being nice enough to offer. But it was prepared for us, and just kind of we ate in a big Bedouin tent that had a fire in the middle. But they cooked the food in a different tent and brought it to that tent, so we didn't have to see any of the preparation, which I think would have brought me to tears. But
yeah.
We did eat all of their traditional food. I guess you have to try everything once, I guess, and more than anything, they're being so gracious to allow us to stay in their camp that I didn't want to do anything that was going to offend them in any way, even if it wasn't kind of traditional for my personal culture, you know?
Well, Jennifer's brother was a Green Beret, and during the whole time of the first Gulf War and on and on. And he actually, the Green Berets actually live with the fighting forces of the country they stay with. And they were out in the middle of the desert waiting to do the first attack during the first Gulf War right along the border there of Kuwait. and they were staying with the local Kuwaiti army, and he said it was absolutely amazing. You're in the middle of the desert. He actually took a picture and sent it to us of the one tree that he found in all the time he was there for like 6 months. And it was right in the middle of the desert. But he said they'd leave in the middle of the desert in the middle of the day and come back an hour later with a goat. He said he had no idea where they found these goats, you know, where the goats actually came from. And then they would cook that goat, and that's what they ate. He will never eat goat again because he ate it for so many days in a row. Goat and rice out of the center bowl. Everybody just sort of reaches in. And he still talks to this day about any time he gets queasy when he thinks about goat.
Yeah, I'm much more of a fan of petting and cuddling goats than I am eating them. But when in Rome, you know, when in Jordan.
Yeah, that's right.
Was it good? Did it taste like chicken? I mean, what's the deal?
It was good. It was, I say the closest thing I can think of is lamb. It was
so
a little bit similar to that.
So don't they spice everything to death, too? They pretty much spice it heavily, don't they?
You know what? I thought that's what my impressions were as well, but they actually don't.
Oh, wow.
They use a lot of different herbs, and I wish I could tell you which ones. They're very tasty herbs, but I'm not sure what the mix is. But it wasn't spicy. It was just well-seasoned. And it just kind of, you know that taste of like a roast that your grandmother's been cooking all day on a Sunday, and it just has all this depth of flavor? That's the way their spices are a little bit. It just has a lot of depth of flavor, and they're very good about complementing different tastes and textures with the right spices. It was amazingly good.
Huh. Well, that's cool. So did I also read on your Facebook page that you're a marathon runner?
I attempt to be. I'm great with the half marathons, but the marathon is a long way. I think I'd rather
ride a horse.
I think half
marathon's a long way myself. Now, I got to ask you, we have to go back to Three Chimneys a little bit, by the way. Thank you for sharing those stories of Jordan. Well, how cool was that?
No problem.
Now, you're at Three Chimneys. We talk about the, you know, Kentucky Derby here and the Triple Crown here on the show. Do you get neat box seats at the Kentucky Derby, and you get to go there and have $1,000 mint juleps?
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Some of the team here does, and they get that lucky. And if we have a horse in there, then even more of the team gets to. I love my job, but because my job is marketing and PR, I need to be the one promoting any and all connections Three Chimneys has to the Derby. So I don't have the luxury of sitting back and just being there and enjoying it and having my mint julep. I am constantly, you know, hopefully, if we're lucky, sending out press releases and photos that photographers are sending me and updating our website, and for people who follow us on Facebook, updating our Facebook page with, you know, just little insights that different people are sending me or photos they're sending me. So I don't get to experience the laid-back fan side of the Derby, but I would choose my experience over any others because I get the insider scoop on, you know, the progeny from our stallions. For example, at the Derby this year, one of our stallions, War Chant, will have a horse named Midnight Interlude entered in the Derby. And so I'll be getting insights from people behind the scenes and photos and things like that, and trying to upload those onto Facebook as quickly as I can so I can give our fans as much of an insider experience as possible.
Do you get to you buy a new big hat every year anyway?
I do, and I probably don't need to, but I do. It's tradition in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. You have to. I think it's required.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you guys do have a horse there, and we should be looking out for that one then. What was the name again?
His name is Midnight Interlude.
Midnight Interlude. Add that to your list, Jamie, of horses we have to keep an eye on for the Derby.
Will do. Is that your pick? Obviously, it has to be.
My pick? I think it is.
Yeah.
His bloodlines, he's bred to go that distance, and he won a grade one race on the dirt, which is something a lot of these other horses in the Derby haven't done. So I think he's got a really good shot, and I don't want to jinx it by saying it, but, yeah, this could be really exciting.
Oh,
I have
cool.
to say,
well,
though,
good luck.
I mean, everyone loves Uncle Mo. I am a huge Uncle Mo fan, too. So before Midnight Interlude was in the picture, I was following Uncle Mo, and that was my number one pick. So I think even though he lost that last race, a lot of horses have lost a race before winning the Derby. So that doesn't take anything away from him, I don't think.
We're partial to Mucho Macho Man, too. We kind of been following him.
I love his name.
Yes.
If I was taking based on names alone, I love saying his name. So, yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, one of these days, we're just going to have to bring the show out to Three Chimneys and do our live show from Three Chimneys.
You'll have to.
That'll be fun. We should do that one of these days, because obviously Three Chimneys is an absolutely beautiful farm for people that don't know it here in Lexington. It's just a neat place, and it sounds like you guys have some cool upcoming youngsters. So congratulations for that. Enjoy the Derby, and thank you so much for joining us and telling us about Jordan. What's the next trip?
That's a good question. It might have to be someplace with a beach, but I'm sure I'll find a horse somewhere along the way.
All right. Thanks, Jen. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All right, Jen,
give Big Brown a big carrot from us here at the Horse Radio Network. Big Brown lives at Three Chimneys. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. That's cool. Well, if your horse or pony gets fat out there alone, is he living in a dry lot or turned out with a muzzle like our horse Beaker? If you can't feed him more than a handful of grain and some hay, then you need Microphase. Microphase is a great way to ensure your horse or pony gets all the nutrients he needs to stay healthy without adding calories to his diet. Microphase contains the vitamins and trace minerals not found in grass or hay, and your horse will eat it right out of your hand. And Beaker loves this stuff. He eats it right out of your hand like a treat. Microphase ensures that your easy keepers get all of the vitamins and trace minerals they need to stay healthy without the extra calories. Find Microphase and all their products at Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com. There's actually, I think Jennifer could confirm this, but I think there's actually like three horses at our barn now on Microphase, because when you got a fatty, they don't always get the nutrients they need because you have to cut their hay and their grass intake back so much. So that's why we use Microphase for our horse Beaker as well. That's kppusa.com. Well, you know, I know that when we had Dan Roberts on, you absolutely loved the song Beaches of Cheyenne. Would you like me to play that for you, Jamie?
Yay! I love, love, love the song. This is the one that he wrote with Garth Brooks, and this is his version of it, and it's just fantastic.
They packed up all his buckles, shipped his saddle to his dad. By the way the house looked, she must have took it bad. The workers come on Monday to fix the door, patch the walls. They say she just went crazy the night she got the call. He was up in Wyoming, drew a bull no man. He promised her he'd turn out. Well, it turned out that he lied. And all the dreams that they'd been living in the California sand died right there beside him in Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that you can go down by the water and see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Just her diary by the bed.
about the fight they'd had and the words that she had said. When he told her he was riding, she said that I don't give a damn if you never come back from Cheyenne. They say she just went crazy, screaming out his name. She ran out into the ocean, and to this day they claim that if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Nobody can explain it. Some say she's still alive. They even claim they've seen her on the shoreline late at night. And if you go down by the water, you'll see her footprints in the sand. 'Cause every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne. Every night she walks the beaches of Cheyenne.
That is Dan Roberts, Beaches of Cheyenne. Yes, you have heard that song before. And yes, it was Garth Brooks that sang it and got a ton of radio play. It was number one, and he and Dan Roberts wrote that song together. If you liked his version, you want to hear some more music, go to oldbootsmusic.com. We did a show with him about 2 months ago where he talked a lot about his relationship with Garth and had me crying. I do believe while he was rounding up cattle, by the way, because you could hear them mooing, because he's a real cowboy, you could actually hear him start to cry. And then it was just an awesome, awesome, awesome story. He's done some really cool things. So go back and listen to that one. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jamie Jennings, along with Glenn the Geek. And Glenn, you said that there is not many comments on Facebook, but I think you have to scroll down a little bit. Hold on. Boomer, hush. Sorry. I can't get the dog to calm down. Puppy's in his two-year-old phase. Oh. Okay, so if you scroll down a little bit, Cindy made the comment, "Oh, my God, did anyone hear the sheath cleaning songs on Horses in the Morning? Horse people are crazy." And then in all caps, "How much did they pay you to sing those songs? I hope it was a lot." Yes, Cindy, not enough. Definitely not enough was paid to me. It's under, scrolling down. Boomer, he's under my chair, sorry. But no, they did not pay me enough, Cindy, at all. Do you see that now?
Oh, yeah, I didn't scroll down far enough, I don't think.
Yeah, if you missed it, I sang
two songs
about... Is
Cindy related
to you?
Is she your mom or your sister or something? Just check.
I have no idea who Cindy is. I love her last name. It's Cindy Bean. So that goes with the whole sheath cleaning thing, because one of the lines is, you know, if there's a beanie and a weenie, get it out. So if you missed the songs, they're in the first couple minutes of the show. So go back and listen. You'll find them very entertaining. We should actually post the lyrics on Facebook, Glenn.
Oh, we'll be posting the sound files on Facebook. Trust me.
Oh, shut up. We will not. You hush. You are not doing that to me.
Oh, yes, I am. Did you read your contract when you signed it? Oh, you didn't sign one. Oh, that's too bad. That means we have complete rights to your sound files.
You'll be hearing from my attorney. Nice.
Well, our next guest is ready.
Yeah. Please, Lisa, I'm sorry that you had to join us on this Thursday because, yeah, we did sing a little bit about sheath cleaning. But, of course, we've got Lisa from The Chronicle. What's going on, girl?
How's it going today?
Good. Jamie has entertained us for two solid days on the topic of sheath cleaning. It's amazing. Only horse people could spend 2 days talking about sheath cleaning.
This is the one very good reason to have a mare, I think.
Oh, you know, somebody posted on Facebook, that it's as disgusting a job to clean between the teats at the bottom, too. So somebody did post that on Facebook that that's as disgusting. I don't think it's quite as disgusting.
Yeah,
that.
I don't think it quite competes. But
no, I don't either. So what's up at the Chronicle?
Well, this is a little bit of a quiet week because we're getting ready for a really, really insane week, which is at the end of April. And I'm sure everyone knows.
Rolex?
Yep, Rolex. But also the same weekend as Rolex is the World Cup final. And
what discipline is the World Cup final for those that don't know?
This year they are doing dressage and show jumping and driving all together.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You mean the show jumpers are driving too?
That would be exciting. So sometimes they're separate last year.
No, what would be more exciting if the drivers were jumping.
That would be awfully exciting. Or
yeah,
if the dressage horses had to jump.
So tell us about the World Cup. I actually, to be honest with you, don't know much about it. I thought it was a soccer thing, actually.
Yeah, World Cup wasn't something I knew a whole lot about before I came here either, but it is actually a pretty big deal. It's a little bit different because the qualifying season runs kind of more like a fiscal year instead of like a calendar year. So the qualifying season was over, I think, in the end of March. So the rankings are pretty much decided by now, and then the finals are usually in, you know, the late spring to early summer. And they changed locations. They were in Las Vegas. I don't know if you guys remember that for a couple years. Last year, the dressage and show jumping were in separate locations, and this year they are together, and they're both going to be in Leipzig. I'm not sure of the correct pronunciation of that, Germany. So it should be very exciting. We have some riders qualified in both the dressage and the show jumping. So for dressage, we are sending Jan Ebeling and his mare Rafalka, and then Shauna Harding and her gelding Come On 3. And then Catherine Haddad, who is a U.S. citizen but is based in Germany, is also going to be competing with her gelding Winyamaro. So it's pretty exciting.
You know what that says to me is that there is a lot of money being spent on equine air travel right now between all the horses shipping over this week to go to badminton and all the horses going to Germany, you said, for the World Cup.
Yep.
I mean, gosh, they're making some cash there over at the airport because what is it, like 10 grand to 20 grand to ship a horse now?
I've heard anywhere between 10 and 30 before.
Holy moly, this has got to be a big deal. You better win if we're putting that bill. Oh, my gosh. So what do you guys have set up for Rolex? Because obviously, you know, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Rolex three-day event in Lexington. So what are you guys going to do? Are you going to be there?
We are going to be there. That's kind of a tough weekend for us because we do actually send people to the World Cup as well. So we have two people going to Germany, and then we have three people, myself included, who are going to be at Rolex. We have some exciting things. We're still planning some of our coverage, but we know we're going to be doing some of the live blogging again, which we did last year at both Rolex and the WEG. We hope to be partnering with Eventing Nation again and also the U.S. Eventing Association to do a lot of that live coverage. So we are going to leave.
Cool.
Yeah,
but what are you going to – be there personally? Lisa, our Chronicle reporter.
Yep, I'm going to be there personally. We're going to leave here Tuesday, and we'll get there. We'll drive about halfway. It's about 8 hours from here, so we'll drive halfway. We'll spend the night in the boondocks of West Virginia, which is always exciting. And then,
oh my God! Don't stop there!
Keep driving.
Yeah, and then we'll get up, you know, really early Wednesday morning, drive the rest of the way, and our first task is to shoot the jog, which is always really fun. You get to see everyone sort of in their Sunday best, even though it's on a Wednesday. See all the horses looking, you know, sparkling and clean, and so we'll take pictures of the jog. We'll post them online so everyone can see. And then we get to walk the Rolex course, and then we'll also walk it with Jimmy Wofford and do his commentary on it and have that online as well.
Well, that's cool. You guys did a great job last year with the live blogging, too.
Oh, thank you. It's a lot of fun. It's a great way to spend the day just sort of sitting by the ring and, you know, commentating with a bunch of different people. It's pretty cool. So we'll be doing that for the dressage and pretty much for every discipline. So we'll do it both days of dressage and then cross country and show jumping as well.
I got to tell you, your job does not suck.
It definitely does not.
Like, how do you get chosen to go to Germany to go report? Is that just somebody that has, like, a little specialty in driving or show jumping?
I mean, we're all we all sort of have specialties, but we all do a little bit of everything. So it's kind of a matter of seniority. You know, people who have been here a little longer can sort of stand up and say, I really want to go to this. But, you know, I'm a new person, and I got to go to the WEG, and I'm going to Rolex. And so it's pretty awesome to be me, too. That's it.
Well, definitely good luck with everything, and we will see you in Lexington, and we'll definitely be following up with all the coverage on the World Cup, and we'll see you in Kentucky.
Yeah, you guys should stop by, and you can do some commentating as well.
We'll actually be live from doing our show live every morning from Rolex for an hour and a half each morning, so we're just going to have to drag you down and get you on the air with us.
Yeah, that sounds good. I can definitely make time for that.
Because, you know, you can't miss your Thursday stint here. We're just going to have to drag you down and have you do it in person.
Yep, it's true.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That's Lisa from the Chronicle of the Horse, and, of course, you can find that at chronofhorse.com. They did do a great job. They worked with John from Eventing Nation last year and did the live blogging. Actually, Samantha and I did the live blogging from Rolex. We were the first ones to do live blogging a couple of years ago, and then it was so much work. Samantha and I looked at each other last year and said, let's talk the Chronicle into it. So they took it over, and we didn't have to do so much work, which was much better for me.
Nice. That is way better. Much better option. Less work is better, Glenn.
Yes, I agree, totally. I'm all for less work. All for less work. Well, let's talk a little bit about FeedXL. You know, FeedXL is the company. We talked about supplements here a couple minutes ago, the Microphase with Kentucky Performance Products. Well, FeedXL takes a look at everything that you're feeding your horse and really gives you some feedback as to whether you're doing it correctly, whether you're giving your horse the right amount of stuff, whether it's supplements or hay or grain or grass. And it's very easy to do. You just stop over to feedxl.com, put in the information about what kind of horse you have, its weight and all that stuff, and then age. They take all of that into consideration when doing their calculations. You also put in what you're currently feeding your horse, and it'll spit out a bunch of different reports, charts, and graphs that show you whether you're feeding your horse too much of one thing or not enough of another. And they do it all nice and neatly, all packaged very well for you at feedxl.com. So stop over to FeedXL, find out if you're feeding your horse correctly.
I'm sorry, these puppies are driving me crazy this morning. Chad went to work already, and usually they stay in the crate in the bed through the end of the show, and they're outside barking. I bring them in, and Zenyatta is on the counter. Get out! I'm not kidding you. They've gotten so big that she just puts her front feet on the counter. We had like a little baby gate that went across. Now she just jumps the baby gate, like no problem. Here.
Who's the one that wanted two puppies?
Yeah, we discussed that last night. when I was like, he's like, yeah, the puppies were my idea. And I was like, yeah, I think two puppies was your idea. He was like, no, two puppies was your idea. I'm like, you're crazy. I had nothing to do at all. All right, I got to take this picture for you guys.
All right, while she's doing that, I wanted to tell you that they just finished a sale over at Keeneland, and I'm sure that Three Chimneys brings some horses over there. And apparently the sale was up a little bit, or not up this year, but about the same, right, Jennifer? They weren't unhappy with the sale this year.
There was not a significant change, no.
Right. So a colt by Indian Charlie out of AP Indy, AP Indy mare, Teenage Temper, was the high colt of the sale, brought $625,000 at the two-year-old sale, training and sale, or sorry, two-year-old in training sale on Monday. And Jess Jackson, Stone Street Stables, purchased the colt. So that was the high price. Stone Street also paid the second highest price in the sale for $485,000 for Colt by Warfront out of El Prado, out of the El Prado mare, La Prado, and he was consigned by Wavetree Stables. Keeneland sold 70 horses during the one-day sale for $11,564,000, averaging $165,000.
Wow. So it sounds like it was up, right?
Well, actually, it was down just a little bit.
Yeah.
But not by much. It was a pretty small change. You know, the market's still figuring itself out, you know. And I'm not up enough. I didn't look at the catalog at all to see what kind of offerings they have, whether or not the lineage and the performances merited it going up. That might be what part of it was, is people just didn't have the horses that would have caused it to go up. I guess the top of the market is getting a little bit stronger now, but the middle and bottom of the market still really aren't rebounding at all. So that might have been one of the factors that played into it. But I just wanted to mention, on these sales reports, when you read the little articles on who got sold for what, the broodmares get shortchanged. Female line just gets shortchanged.
I don't think so. I sold one mare at Tattersall's, and the thing that they were telling me that they look at is the black type winners, which are stakes winners, on the mare's side.
Right.
But
they don't
maybe
report,
because
they don't report the female lines when they do it this way. It's such and you know, a 2-year-old by such and such stallion, and then they give you the broodmare sire. They don't give you any of the female lineage unless you look up actually who's what.
That is true.
And now, do you think that if Zenyatta's firstborn ever goes to sale, which we know it won't, they would say a yearling filly by Bernardini out of an AP Indy mare or whatever?
They would probably celebrate out of Zenyatta. Yeah. This is true. It just depends on how awesome the female is. But, you know, if you're interested in these bloodlines and you're interested in horse racing and you just don't know where to start, the Blood Horse is offering online a free handicapping webinar that is a seminar on the internet, and it's called How to Bet: A Beginner's Guide for Thoroughbred Racing. The Blood Horse's news editor and handicapper, a couple different people actually involved with the Blood Horse, are going to be hosts of this to teach novice bettors, beginner bettors, how a promising horse should look in the race, in the saddling paddock prior to the race, how to read their past performance information, what different wagering options are available, and what to look for as you watch a live horse race. Now, I'm sorry, that is good information, because here's what I do. I go to the paddock where they saddle the horses before the race, and I'm like, oh, my God, that one is so pretty. I am so betting on that one. He looks like the best dressage horse ever. And, of course, dressage horses don't run fast. So, of course, I pick the one that I think is pretty and that makes the best sport horse. And, unfortunately, they always lose. So I will tell you, I think I'm going to be online, thebloodhorse.com. It's at 2 p.m. I'm assuming that's Eastern, so 11 o'clock my time. And watch How to Bet: A Beginner's Guide for Thoroughbred Racing. And it's completely free. And they've got a Q&A at the end of it, too. So kind of interesting if you're into that kind of thing and you want to learn a little bit more about it right before the Kentucky Derby.
Jennifer bets the same way you do, by the way. And I find those programs they're like written in Martian.
Yeah.
And every time we go to the races, I sit down and I open up the program and I say to Jennifer, what does this mean? And she has no idea. So, you know, neither one of us have any idea what all the little numbers are. And
yeah,
it would be a good idea to know at least how to read the darn program.
I'm going to tell you, as much as I love thoroughbred racing, I have no idea how to read the program. All those numbers and the Bayer speed figures and the works and the times and blah, blah, blah. And then you don't want to ask anybody around you because you feel like an idiot because they're all staring at it like they know what's going on. They probably don't even know either.
Hey, I know how to read part of the program. The part of the program that says 5 o'clock special on large 16-ounce beer, 7 to 9. I know how to read that part.
Yeah, the advertisements and the names.
Part.
We can read that part. We're not completely literate, so, but that's about all you get. So It's kind of would be interesting to see. And the bloodhorse.com, again, it happens, what time did I say? It happens around 2 Eastern, I believe. So it might be interesting to know, and we can all learn a little bit of something. Bloodhorse.com/webcast is where it's going to be.
All right, cool. Well, let's call it a day there, Jamie. You got anything else, or we just want to wrap it up?
I just emailed you a photo of what was happening behind me at the door. So if you want to post that on Facebook, this is what I've been dealing with all morning long. So if I've been a little bit spacey, it's because I've had two puppies that are in their terrible twos right now that have been absolute demons this morning. So I've got to clean up these shredded paper towels. The trash can lid has been knocked over. The blanket that is usually their bed is shredded right now, and I've got Post-it notes that have teeth marks in them. So I've got a little bit of cleaning up to do after this show. This whole show, I've been turned around going, like giving them the look of death, like the stare. You don't stop that. I am going to come over here, and I am going to spank your bottom. Of course, I can't, and they know I can't because I've got this. I'm connected to the wall. I think they know they can get away with anything.
You're wearing a leash.
Exactly. I'm wearing a leash. I've got a headphone cord, that microphone. So yeah, they know it. So I got some work to do. So, yeah, I'm ready to wrap it up, too.
All right, and if you missed the beginning of today's show, if you tuned in late, you have to go back to the very beginning of today's show, and you have to listen to today's Daily Whinny. It was Jamie, for the first time ever, probably on live radio of any kind, online or traditional radio, singing two songs about sheath cleaning. That might be the first time ever that songs about sheath cleaning have ever been on the radio. I'm sure that's a first. We could probably get that into the Guinness World Book of Records. And you'll want to hear it because she did it very well. And if you've missed it, I'm sure I'll be playing it over and over and over again as we go down the line, especially on days when she's not around.
Are you going to use this on Horsetip Daily? No, please don't.
It's educational. Yeah, that's a tip. We could use each one of them as a tip. Very educational. All right, so on that note, you can find all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. The Western show is now out. They had a good show this week. One of the things I noticed about the Western show is when they get those rodeo guys on, and they had a guy who won $50,000 at the Houston Rodeo, he rode all six of his bulls to the 8 seconds. He was the first one in Houston Rodeo history to ride all the bulls the full 8 seconds. And he's just a super nice guy. These guys are just so nice, so friendly, and so respectful. Yeah, you know, saying to Tammy ma'am the whole time and everything. So it's just a good show. I just loved listening to that show talk about his family and his kids and how they're all button busting now, and it was just a good show. So check that out at westernradioshow.com or at horseradionetwork.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, just search for Horses in the Morning. And we're also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you miss the live show, listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. Just skip the first 10 minutes of today's show. You don't have to miss any episodes. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern with puppies locked in their crates. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
We're going to hear scratch, scratch, scratch all over the crates all tomorrow morning. Have a good day, everybody.